الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, today is the what, 6th of Shawwal, 7th of Shawwal, sorry, 1433, which corresponds to the 25th of August 2012. It's a Saturday evening here at the Mushrifa Da'wah Center, Islamic Research Foundation. And we will be having, I'm assuming, somewhere around the fifth session or so of the beneficial book, inshallah, Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin li Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi alayhi rahmatullah. And the new thing we have is that we have this Wizik with us today. So hopefully, inshallah, it will be of benefit for those who are viewing and listening. Let's go right into it in order not to waste time. Page number 18 on my book, 19 specifically actually, and because on last, before Eid, right before we took a break, we were dealing with the matters concerning the etiquettes of the teacher and the students, correct? And we stopped at the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. We did not begin with it because we said it is so profound, it needs some time. And just as a quick disclaimer, the discussion here is in regards to the alim, huh? The scholar and the student of knowledge, which means it doesn't concern us. Don't think I'm trying to have you do this to me, because I am not a alim, okay? So therefore, this is how we deal with the ulama when we do get in touch with them. And when you get the chance to be in the presence of the ulama, the real ulama, then this should be our etiquette. As for us brothers, we're just, you know, no barriers and all this doesn't apply. So you don't have to worry about it or feel guilty that you haven't been doing this. I don't expect you to be doing this to begin with. But listen to how it's supposed to be. Nevertheless, قال علي رضي الله عنه إن من حق العالم عليك أن تسلم على القوم عامة وتخصه بالتحية. From the right of the scholar over you is that you give the salam, the greet, you greet the people generally, but you specify him with a specific greeting. You don't treat him like an ordinary person amongst other ordinary people. So even though you may come in and you greet people, just salam alaikum, when you see the sheikh, you have to go give him something special to him. Okay? He doesn't have to ask you for this. This is the etiquette of the student of knowledge with the sheikh. وَأَن تَجْلِسَ أَمَامَهُ, and that you sit in front of him. وَلَا تُشِيرُ عِنْدَهُ بِيَدِكَ, and do not wave your hand or do not gesture with your hand in his presence. When you talk to him, don't use your finger and your hand and put it in his face and things of the sort. It's inappropriate. You keep your hands down. وَلَا تَغْمِزَنَّ بِعَيْنِكَ, don't wink at him either. You know, like he's your buddy, you know. Come on, Sheikh. You know, some people are cool like that. Sheikh. Well, the Sheikh is not going to be happy. وَلَا تُكْثِرُ عَلَيْهِ السُّؤَالِ, don't ask too many questions. Huh? Don't overwhelm him, in other words, with questions. وَلَا تُعِينُهُ فِي الْجَوَابِ, and do not assist him with the answer. Because some people will finish every sentence of yours. Huh? You ask him a question or they ask you a question. They ask you a question. Then when you try to answer it, he will finish it for you. So why did you ask me? You could have answered it by yourself, mashallah. You know more than the one you're asking. So don't continue, don't finish his sentences. And don't help him in the answer. وَلَا تَلِحَّ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا كَسِلَ, and do not insist and do not be on his case if he's tired, if he's lazy, if he becomes lazy, meaning he's not in the mood right now to deal with you. Don't be persistent. وَلَا تُرَاجِعُهُ إِذَا امْتَنَعَ, and do not debate with him if he refrains from giving you what you want. Don't insist again. Please, if he refrains, then leave him alone. وَلَا تَأْخُذْ بِثَوْبِهِ إِذَا نَهَضْ, and do not grab his garment when he stands. وَلَا تَفْشِ لَهُ سِرًّا, and do not expose or publicize any secret of his that you know about him. ولا تغتابن عنده احدا, and don't backbite anyone else in his presence. ولا تطلبن عثرته, and don't go fetching for his mistakes. Don't wait for him to make an error, to have an issue. وإن زل قبلت معذرته, and if he does fall, if he does make a mistake, you should accept his apology or his excuse. وعليكم السلام. ولا تقولن له سمعت فلانا يقول كذا, and never say to him, well, I heard this other person say this. Reminds me of a comment someone left yesterday. He said, MashaAllah, I love the lectures, just quoting. I love the lectures because you only quote the Quran and the Sunnah. But can you prove to me that you only refer to the Quran and the Sunnah so I can have a peace of mind? So what kind of question is this, man? If you were attracted to the lectures because you just said that I only quote the Quran and the Sunnah, how am I supposed to explain to you afterwards that I only quote the Quran and the Sunnah? Oh, I'm going to reply, I've been lying this whole time, brother, on YouTube. I was never quoting the Quran and the Sunnah, it was something else, and thank you for asking that question now that has become clear. This is nonsensical questions, but they exist out there. Anyways, don't say to him, I heard Fulan say, وَلَا أَنَّ فُلَانًا يَقُولُ خِلَافَكَ, nor say to him, Wallah, but that sheikh says something other than what you're saying. Huh? So you say it's halal, but that other sheikh says it's haram, dealing how you deal with your sheikh. وَلَا تَصِفَنَّ عِنْدَهُ عَالِمًا, nor should you describe another scholar in his presence. Wallah, he is this and he is that, because it's kind of saying that you're nothing and that other sheikh is the sheikh. وَلَا تُعْرِدْ عَنْ طُولِ صُحْبَتِهِ, and don't turn away from spending a long time with him. From spending, طول الصحبة, طول is the elongation, صحبة is companionship. نعم. From here, from there we have صحابة and صحابي. Who can define a صحابي? Yes, Mayruk?
Someone who met the Prophet or heard him or saw him, I think, and died upon Islam while he saw him. No, he died upon Islam. That's it, I think.
Okay, so you said met or heard or saw.
Heard or saw, yeah, and he was Muslim and he died upon Islam.
So if someone met him but he didn't hear or see, he's not a Sahabi.
No, this is for the people who are blind, for
example. Tayyib, so then you say whoever met the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and died as a Muslim, because when you meet him, خلاص, whether that person heard or not, whether they saw or not, maybe he was deaf. If he met the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, technically according to the ulama, if he met him عليه الصلاة والسلام and he died as a Muslim, he's a Sahabi. If he met him and he was blind, he couldn't see him, he's a Sahabi as well. Which means that if he met him and then he apostated or apostatized after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he's no longer a Sahabi. Or if he never embraced Islam, he's not a Sahabi either. Abu Jahl is not a Sahabi, for example. طيب. وَلَا تَرْفَعْ نَفْسَكَ عَنْ خِدْمَتِهِ, and don't don't raise yourself above servicing him. Don't think you're too special to provide service to your sheikh. وَإِذَا عُرِضَتْ لَهُ حَاجَةٌ سَبَقْتَ الْقَوْمَ إِلَيْهَا, and if any need, if he winds up having any particular need, you hasten and you try to beat the people in order to fulfill that need of his. Don't wait. Once you know he needs something, you'll be the first to carry it out. فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ بِمَنْزِلَةِ النَّخْلَةِ تَنْتَظِرُ مَتَى يَسْقُطُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْهَا شَيْءٍ. Verily, he is like the palm tree, wherein you're sitting there waiting for something to fall off from that tree. Subhanallah. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَحْتَرِزَ الْقَائِدُ فِي الْعِلْمِ فِي مَبْدَأِ الْأَمْرِ مِنَ الْإِصْغَاءِ إِلَى اخْتِلَافِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُحَيِّرُ عَقْلَهُ وَيُفْتِرَ ذِهْنَهُ. And the person who's going into this area of knowledge acquisition, the one who is going into this field of learning, should initially be careful and avoid listening to the various opinions of the people, as in the scholars, because this will confuse him. It will confuse him, and it will make his brain be less responsive to the knowledge. And this is why, if you go back to the ulama of the Salaf, you will find that they will first learn one madhab. Let's say in fiqh, they will learn one madhab, the usul of this madhab, until they have encompassed the knowledge of this madhab. Then they will go on and learn the other madhahib. And then after having acquired the understanding of the madhahib, one will become a mujtahid, one who has the ability now to turn away from the madhahib in general and go by the evidence. Now, this is not the qualification which any one of us has. And therefore, if you go back to the ulama, you find Imam al-Nawawi was Shafi'i. And Imam Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah himself was a Hanbali. Now, the difference, of course, this doesn't mean that we're encouraging madhabism and that you follow one madhab and you stick to it like the Ahnaf and they close the door. No, but this is saying that for the student of knowledge, you have to learn the basics first, and then your brain is able to encompass. Otherwise, at an early stage, if you take all the four madhahib with their various usul, you will never be able to understand fiqh or learn or memorize all fiqh, because how will you know all the different madhahib? I mean, unless you're an encyclopedia, which is technically impossible. So the way they did it back then was like that. The virtue which they had, not all of them, is that they were never blind followers of this madhab. Yani, even though the imam would have learned the usul of Shafi'iyyah, the madhab Shafi'i, he wasn't one, when the evidence was presented to him, he will say, "Wallah, I don't care for the evidence, I'm a Shafi'i." Unlike what we have today. The sickness of today is not that he follows one of these imams. That's fine. If he's a layman and he doesn't have the ability to look into the evidences, he is expected to follow something. Either a sheikh, which is present now, where his fatwa becomes binding on this person. Like one of us today, if he wants to buy a car, for example, and he's confused about the issue of loans and this and that, and if he refers to a alim who's qualified, he's a known alim who's knowledgeable and grounded in knowledge, so on and so forth, and he asks him, and that questioner does not have the means to analyze, he is expected to blindly follow this imam, this mufti. He cannot say, well, he tells him it's haram, say, well, I'm going to go get it anyways, because I just need a car. Now it's haram on you to buy the car, because that mufti told you that it is haram. This is for the layman, the person who has no tools to analyze, understand, evaluate textual evidences. The one who has the ability to do so has a whole other approach. This one goes with wherever the evidence takes him, irrespective of the madhab. It could turn out to be Hanafi, it could turn out to be Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, it doesn't matter to him. He's going by the textual evidence. But this is for the one who's now trying to get a fatwa, to get something done. Students of knowledge are not like that. The student of knowledge is the one we're referring to, is the one that begins with something, a foundation, after which he's able to branch off and spread. This is the one that it is impossible for him to learn all the four madhahib and all their old usul simultaneously and then be able to do ijtihad. So, not calling anyone for madhabism or to become a blind follower of a madhab, but just so you all know how it used to be done back in the days. Naam. وَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَنَهُ. And it is incumbent or expected on the student to take the best of everything, the best thing that scholar provides in all matters. لِأَنَّ الْعُمُرَ لَا يَتَّسِعُ لِجَمِيعِ الْعُلُومِ. Because we said the lifespan, one of a person's lifespan, cannot possibly encompass all sciences. You will not be able to learn everything. So, you focus on the things which are relevant to you. ثُمَّ يَصْرِفُ جَمَامَ قُوَّتِهِ إِلَىٰ أَشْرَفِ الْعُلُومِ. Then, after having received the best of all these sciences which are relevant to you, then you turn your attention and your strength completely to the most noble of sciences, وَهُوَ الْعِلْمُ الْمُتَعَلِّقُ بِالْآخِرَةِ, and which is the science or the knowledge pertaining to the hereafter or the life to come. الذي به يكتسب اليقين الذي حصله أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه, through which he's able to attain the certainty which was attained by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him. حتى شهد له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال, and this is not a hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, this is an error, as it says in the footnote. أورده الإمام تاج الدين السبكي في طبقات الشافعية في الباب الذي عقد الأحاديث التي لم يجد لها إسنادا. They did not find a chain of narration for this particular statement. However, it was attributed to one of the Salaf. But it's a valid statement actually, which is the statement, ما سبقكم أبو بكر بكثرة صوم ولا صلاة ولكن بشيء وقر في صدره. Abu Bakr did not exceed you because of abundance of prayer or fasting. However, it is because of something which existed in his heart. Something which was in his heart, his yaqeen. And why was he called As-Siddiq? Who knows why was he called As-Siddiq? When was that name given to him? Aywa, what happened after Isra Mi'raj?
Alayhi salam, about the journey and no one believed him.
Aywa.
Some people went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, look at what your friend is saying. So he said, I believe in what he said.
So, and so?
Named him.
He said, you know, he brings the wahi from Allah, and we believe him. So I'm not going to believe him in regards to something else. We already trust this man, that he's the messenger of Allah. So if he said it, it must be correct. You see, that's the yaqeen. Now, there was no doubt, because some of the Muslims back then were skeptical. They were logically, like right now, somebody were to tell you, I went to Venice, or somewhere in one night and came back without an airplane or something of the sort. It's just something that is unimaginable. It's just something that cannot be done unless it is a miracle. It's a miracle. And that's what it was. It was a miracle for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. على كل حال, فهذه وظائف المتعلم. These are the expectations from the student. These are his jobs. وأما المعلم فعليه وظائف أيضا. As for the teacher, then he has some obligations and instructions as well. Duties, in other words. من ذلك الشفقة على المتعلمين. Among them is compassion towards the students. وأن يجريهم مجرى بنيه. That he treats them like his own children, his own sons. ولا يطلب على إفاضة العلم أجرا, and that he should not require or request any reward, any أجر, any فلوس for that dissemination of knowledge. ولا يقصد به جزاء ولا شكرا, nor should he seek any reward for it or any gratitude or thankfulness. بل يعلم لوجه الله تعالى, rather he teaches for the seeking Allah's face سبحانه وتعالى. ولا يرى لنفسه منة على المتعلمين, and he does not see that he has any favor over the students either. بل يرى الفضل لهم, rather he sees that they are the ones who are virtuous. إذ هيأوا قلوبهم للتقرب إلى الله تعالى بزراعة العلم فيها, that they have prepared their hearts to get nearer to Allah, therefore allowing the knowledge to be grown in their hearts. فهم كالذي يعير الأرض لمن يزرع فيها. So they are like those who are lending the land, the soil, for someone else to plant in it. Take the soil and plant in it. فلا ينبغي أن يطلب المعلم الأجر إلا من الله تعالى. So the teacher should not seek any reward, financial reward, except from Allah تبارك وتعالى. وقد كان السلف يمتنعون من قبول هدية المتعلم. And the Salaf used to turn away from accepting the gift from the student. And there's a video for one of the mashayikh who was giving a talk and things of the sort, and they came and tried to give him a gift. You know how they love it here in Saudi, they give you that kind of dir. Yeah, well, what do you call that thing? You know, it's like some glass thingy, shield, yeah, with some print on it, whatever. And he wouldn't take it. They said, Ya Sheikh, come on man, this is nothing, and this is not a... He wouldn't take it. SubhanAllah. So really, yani, nowadays, if you were to do this to some people, they will be overly offended. Yeah? But this is how the Salaf used to be, wallahi al-musta'an. وَمِنْهَا أَلَّا يَدَّخِرَ مِنْ نُصْحِ الْمُتَعَلِّمِ شَيْئًا. And also, he should not, يعني, should not withhold in regards to advice to the student anything. Don't withhold any advice. I mean, anything you see, advise him. وَأَنْ يَزُّرَهُ عَنْ سُوءِ الْأَخْلَاقِ بِطَرِيقَةِ التَّعْرِيدِ مَهْمَا أَمْكَنْ. And that he should reprimand him in regards to evil character in by alluding or by hinting as much as possible. Hint. يعني, you want to deliver a message to someone, you don't have to sometimes say it to their face. You wait for some public occasion and you lay it down over there. And he will know. Ah, okay, I think he's talking about me. Huh? He's talking about me. But now you're not saying it to his face, so that will make life easy. Sometimes you have to say it to someone's face. But we're just saying, that's why he said, مَهْمَا أَمْكَنْ. As much as possible. Huh? Just in case someone said. لَا عَلَى وَجْدِ التَّوْبِيخِ. Not as means of reprimand. فَإِنَّ التَّوْبِيخِ يَهْتِكُ حِجَابَ الْهَيْبَةِ. Because reprimanding him may kind of remove that barrier of awe, which he's supposed to have towards the sheikh. وَمِنْهَا أَنْ يَنْظُرَ فِي فَهْمِ الْمُتَعَلِّمْ وَمِقْدَارِ عَقْلِهِ. He should also, the teacher, the scholar, should look into the understanding of the student and his level of intellect. Huh? His intellect. فَلَا يُلْقِي إِلَيْهِ مَا لَا يُدْرِكُهُ فَهْمُهُ وَلَا يُحِيطُ بِهِ عَقْلُهُ. So he should not disseminate to him what his understanding cannot encompass, nor can his brain understand. And don't give him something that is beyond his ability. فَقَدْ رُوِيَ عَنْ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Again, this is hadith, not a hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. It was something along these lines was said by Ali رضي الله عنه. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُخَاطِبَ النَّاسِ عَلَى قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. I was commanded to address the people in a manner which is relevant to their understanding, proportional to their understanding. وقال علي رضي الله عنه إنها هنا علما لو أصبت له حملته. There's right there, there's knowledge. If you were to understand some of it, then you'd be able to carry it. وقال الشافعي رحمه الله. And then they recited some poetry. أنثر درا بين سريحة النعم أنظم منثورا لرعية الغنم ومن منح الجهال علما أضاعه ومن منع المستوجبين فقد ظلم. عجيب. He said, shall I kind of spread my pearls in a sheep farm or in a camel farm, or shall I recite something that is recited like poetry or something that is authored to a shepherd? Whoever grants knowledge to the ignorant people, they will waste it. And whoever withholds from those who are deserving it, then he has wronged, he has been oppressive. وَمِنْهَا أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمُعَلِّمُ عَامِلًا بِعِلْمِهِ. And among them is that the teacher should act according to his knowledge. وَلَا يُكَذِّبُ قَوْلُهُ فِعْلَهُ. وَلَا يُكَذِّبُ قَوْلُهُ فِعْلَهُ. أَوْ وَلَا يُكَذِّبُ قَوْلَهُ فِعْلُهُ. Huh? Which one is it? Let's do some grammar. Time out. This is going to be fun. We have two options in the language now. لا يكذب قوله فعله or لا يكذب قوله فعله. Take 30 seconds, if you know grammar that is, and analyze it and tell me which one is correct. And if you don't know grammar, try to learn it in that 30 seconds. So you can come up with something. Huh? You have to actually think, because there's a tricky part there.
I already have it in the book. So.
You have it in the book? Well, that's a special book you got. Muhammad, ya Shaykh Muhammad. Allah, Muhammad, Allah, too cheating, man. What do we see? Huh? Then you're going to raise your hand after Muhammad. Ibrahim. Let me see the book. Yeah, I'm entitled to do this. No, I already know the answer, but I wanted to make sure that I'm not tripping you. Where is it? Aywa? Tayyib, alhamdulillah. It's known, because if you think about it, you know the answer. But first of all, we know that the subject of the sentence, the fa'il, huh? The fa'il is marfu'. Therefore, it ends with a dhamma. Dhamma. And the maf'ul bihi is mansub. Therefore, it ends with a fatha. طيب. So we have two options. لا يكذب قوله فعله. Meaning قوله. Let me translate it first. Well, I cannot translate it because if I translate it, you know the answer. The statement and the action. Which one should not belie the other? Which one comes first? The statement or the action? In this regard, the statement, meaning his actions should not negate his statements. إذن لا يكذب قوله فعله. Is that what you have? That's what I meant. لا يكذب. Wait a second. What did you say, Shu'aib? لا يكذب. لا, wait. The statement and the action. Which one comes first? Statement comes first. So which one should be fa'il? Which one should be fa'il? Which one should add with dhamma?
Eyes on me?
Yeah, because you know we're expecting. Which one should be dhamma mayruk?
I think qawlahu fi'lahu.
Qawlahu fi'lahu. So what do we have here? Qawlahu is what? Fa'il or maf'ul bihi? You, the one with the answer. Maf'ul bihi. Which one?
Qawlahu.
Why?
Because it's the statement. The action follows.
So, yeah, the action follows. But here, the sentence sequence is abnormal.
Reversed.
It's reversed. Technically speaking, it should be لا يكذب فعله قوله فعله قوله فعله مرفوع. His action should not negate his statement. But here they turned it around. And so also the thing didn't turn around though. They only transferred it. فلا يكذب قوله فعله. Meaning his statement is not negated by his action. Did you get it? It's confusing. Yeah, but see, the issue is because first he will speak about something, then he's expected to do it. That's the tricky part. But if you go back to the usul, which one comes first, al-fi'l or al-kalam, al-qawl, al-ilm or al-qawl, al-ilm, knowledge precedes speech and action. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. فَإِذَنْ the whole thing is confusing. I hope you're not confused.
After all this.
Yeah, it's okay, man. قال الله تعالى, just to work the brains a little bit. قال الله تعالى أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. Do you command the people or do you enjoin upon people righteousness and you forget about yourselves while you recite the book? Do you not understand? It's not here and أفلا تعقلون, but it's part of the ayah. وقال علي رضي الله عنه قسم ظهري رجلان قسم ظهري رجلان. Here we go with the same thing again. It should be قسم رجلان ظهري, because who did the قسم? The two men. And so it's مرفوع بال ألف. But they put it first. Huh? أخروها. So my back was kind of split. And what they mean by that, when they say قسم ظهره, meaning something that is heavy. Something that is so heavy, it like splits your back. Can't even carry it. Two men. عالم متهتك وجاهل متنسك. And a scholar who is reckless, who is not يعني, acting according to it. وجاهل متنسك. And an ascetic, ignorant person. Someone who's, you know, doing all these ibadat while he is actually ignorant. Most of them are bid'ah and are against the sunnah. As we see today. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faslun fi afati al-ilmi wa bayani ulama al-su'i wa ulama al-akhirah. A chapter on the disadvantage of the defects of knowledge and the clarification of the evil scholars and the scholars of the life to come. Yani ulama rabbaniyun, as they call them. علماء السوء هم الذين قصدهم من العلم تنعم بالدنيا. Who are the evil scholars? Those whose objective out of this knowledge is to kind of get the delight of the worldly life. والتوصل إلى المنزلة عند أهلها, and to be able to reach a particular degree amongst the people of the dunya. وقد روى أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال من تعلم علما مما يبتغى به وجه الله عز وجل لا يتعلمه إلا ليصيب به عرضا من الدنيا لم يجد عرق الجنة يوم القيامة, يعني ريحها. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in an authentic tradition here, which was narrated by Abu Dawood ibn Majah, Ahmad ibn Hibban, whosoever seeks knowledge through which Allah's face is sought, however he only learns it in order to attain some worldly gain, he will not even find the fragrance of paradise on Yawm al-Qiyamah. الله مستعان. وفي حديث آخر أنه قال من تعلم العلم ليباهي به العلماء أو يماري به السفهاء أو يصرف به وجوه الناس إليه فهو في النار, رواه الترمذي, نسأل الله العافية. وفي ذلك أحاديث كثيرة. Whosoever learns the knowledge in order to compete with the scholars or to argue with the ignorant or to turn the people's face towards him, then he shall be in the fire, نسأل الله العافية. And there are many narrations of this sort. وقال بعض السلف أشد الناس ندامة عند الموت عالم مفرط أو مفرط. The most regretful people at the time of death will be a scholar who was negligent, who was heedless, or who was excessive. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمَأْخُوذَ عَلَى الْعَالِمِ أَنْ يَقُومَ بِالْأَوَامِرِ وَالنَّوَاهِي. Know that what is incumbent and expected of the scholar is to carry out the commands and the prohibitions. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ زَاهِدًا وَلَا مُعْرِضًا عَنِ الْمُبَاحَاتِ. And he is not expected, it's not upon him, he's not obliged to be an ascetic, nor someone who turns away from what Allah made halal. Mubah, what is mubah? Huh? Mubah optional? Yeah, I mean it is optional. But what is the accurate translation? I mean, yeah, it is optional, but what is the translation of mubah? Permissible, طيب, or not permitted? No, يا شيخ خربتها كده. خربتها مرة. You want to ruin the whole thing, man? If the mubah is not permitted, we're going to be selling potatoes tomorrow, all of us. Okay, we have wajib, mustahab, mubah, makruh, haram. Mubah, allowed. This is allowed. Permissible, as the brother said, something that is neither makruh nor recommended, neither haram nor obligatory. It's just something. Okay, you want to ride a car? Is it makruh to ride a car?
No.
Is it mustahab to ride a car? No. You just want to ride a car, man. You want to ride a bicycle? It's mubah. You want to go on a skateboard? It's mubah. Now, if you say all these are not permissible, yes, Sheikh, I'm telling you, man, we can't be doing anything. Huh? From this moment on, turn off this laptop and shut down the AC and everything, because all this is mubah. And because you have some people who will come, you know, with these funny statements. Yeah, YouTube is a bid'ah. What are you doing there? Everything is a bid'ah for you. The YouTube is a bid'ah. YouTube is not a bid'ah. How is YouTube? Is it ibadah? Have you ever seen someone get close to Allah through YouTube? It means to deliver or to convey a lecture. It is not an ibadah in and of itself. It's a means. It's like the car which you take to the masjid. And this is the vehicle of communication with the people. It is not an ibadah for you to say it's a bid'ah or it's a sunnah or it's a wajib. It's a wajib to have a YouTube account. Maybe somebody will come and tell you this next thing you know. Without a YouTube account, you know, there's a hard, tough chance for you to go to paradise. Yeah, Sheikh, I don't want to be using, for example, somebody doesn't want to use YouTube. I mean, people come up with weird stuff as they go along, as they say. نعم. إلا أنه ينبغي له أن يتقلل من الدنيا مهما استطاع. However, it is expected of the scholar to kind of avoid or minimize his worldly gain or his involvement in the worldly life as much as possible. لأنه ليس كل جسم يقبل التعلل فإن الناس يتفاوتون. Not everybody can will take these excuses, and people are vary in this regard. وروي أن سفيان الثوري رحمه الله. سفيان الثوري, do you know a story? You don't know the story of Sufyan when the Sultan during his time he wanted him to be the judge. I mean, Sufyan was Sufyan, huh? He was heavyweight, and he wanted to basically delegate to him some task in the government. And Sufyan wasn't for it. He didn't want to deal with the rulers and the Sultan and all this. It's a big door of fitna. Huh? So he decided to, he refused. So the Sultan issued a verdict that anyone who finds him, anyone, will get a big reward. I don't know how many thousand dirhams for whoever catches Sufyan and brings him to him, because they want to take revenge from him now. How could he refuse the command of the Sultan? Anyways, so Sufyan decided to run for his life. And he traveled on a journey trying to escape. And the people were going there looking for him. على كل حال, he eventually went and he decided to work at someone's garden to look after his dates and whatever. And it was in Kufa. And they were looking for him somewhere in Basra or something like that. And it was quite a distance. So when he got there, he started working for this person and collecting the dates. But he never tried any one of them. You know, because the guy was, you know, he was, and he feared Allah. It wasn't his property. He was just looking after it. So anyways, two men came by and they had some dates, and they asked him, you know, how are the dates? You know, the dates in Basra are of such and such. So how are the dates in the Kufa? He said, well, I don't know what the dates of the Kufa taste like. But I know that the ones in Basra are great. And they were like, hold on a second, man. How could this guy be working here and not know the dates? They knew he was Sufyan. They told him, are you Sufyan al-Thawri? So they actually caught him because of his piety. They said, no one else would be doing something like this. Only Sufyan would be one who's working in a place and never tried a single date. He doesn't know the taste of the date over there. Anyways, he eventually was able to escape. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Na'am. وَكَانَ حَسَنُ الْمَطْعَمُ. Huh? Yeah, for those who love food, they're going to love this one. Yeah, some people will quote this for the rest of their life. Every time you walk in, I walk in, you see with the chicken in his hand, say, Yaki, what's going on? Say, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. He used to have an excellent diet. Huh? Sufyan al-Thawri, he used to eat good food. He used to eat good food. He was, you know, picky with what he ate. And he used to say, إِنَّ الدَّابَةَ إِذَا لَمْ يُحْسَنْ إِلَيْهَا فِي الْعَلْفِ لَمْ تَعْمَلْ. The animal, if you don't provide it with good hay or good food to eat, it was not going to work hard. So he will feed himself properly, huh? To work hard. This is the part we're missing. He will feed it properly. Say, where's the hard work right now? Oh yeah. Now I will relax now and take a break after this big meal, akhi, because I can't breathe. Which shows that you're not like Sufyan al-Thawri. And so if you want to follow Sufyan al-Thawri in his good eating habits, you should also follow Sufyan al-Thawri in his hard work. Now, then only then will be excused. وَكَانَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ بِنْ حَنْبَلٍ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ يَصْبِرُ مِنْ خُشُونَةِ الْعَيْشِ عَلَى أَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. However, on the other hand, Ahmad bin Hanbal used to be so patient over the difficulty in this worldly life. Something tremendous. They say that he would wear the same pair of shoes for, I don't know how many years, 15 years or 10, 15 years. And then when it goes bad, he will go on and fix it. He wouldn't buy another pair of shoes. So that tells you something about Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. وَمِن صِفَاتِ عُلَمَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ أَنْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الدُّنْيَا حَقِيرَةِ. And from among the qualities of these scholars of the life to come is that they recognize and they know that this worldly life is lowly. Haqira is something that is detestable and belittled and just garbage kind of thing. وَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ شَرِيفَةَ. And the life to come is noble. وَأَنَّهُمَا كَالضَّرَّتَيْنَ أو الضُّرَّتَيْنَ. What is the... Have you ever heard that amongst the, you know, that term? ضَرَّ وَضُرَّ وَضِرَّ وَإِلَى آخِرِهِ. This is the what they call it, the co-wife. You know when someone has two wives?
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually they like each other or they don't like each other. They hate each other, usually. They hate each other. There are some exceptions to the rule. We haven't come across any yet.
I have come across one.
Wallah, by mistake. Or maybe you thought so. Anyways, it's normal for them to have some sort of beef, you know?
The first wife gave, chose the girl to whom her husband should be getting married to as a gift.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Shu'aib be meeting very unique people. Shu'aib, we need to hang out with you more often, barakallah feek, so we can come across these people as well. For whatever reason, we don't come across them. No, I know it happens, actually. We have heard similar stories, but usually there's a reason why that happened too. Okay, just for the record. It's not like out of the goodness of her heart, one day said, honey, why don't you just get a second wife? You know, you really deserve it. Let me help you find one. No. Okay? There must be some reason somewhere. Ala kulli hal. You're still going to argue. Khalas ya Shu'aib. So the point being here, they are like, so the dunya and the life to come, as the Shaykh is saying, they're like the co-wives. They have enmity. There's this conflict between this worldly life and the life to come. They don't get along. You can't really have them get along. It's impossible. If you please one, you will displease the other. Huh? If you try to work for the akhirah, your dunya is not going to be miya miya. And if you try to work for the dunya, then your akhirah is not going to be miya miya. But the intelligent one is the one who weighs them. No, not only Ben, the one who weighs them out. The akhirah is something big, and eternal in the dunya is something low and short. And so if you try to put too much effort here while losing on that one, then we will lose. So the balance is there, the balance of knowing that the akhirah is like this compared to the dunya. This is where the balance is. Now you can have a balance like this, you can have a line connecting them by taking care of your dunya matters, but this thing ended the class. Your feedback about the WISIC virtual classroom. Muhammad will have a discussion after this, inshallah. طيب ويكونوا نعم فهم يؤثرون الآخرة. They, the scholars of the life to come, they favor the life to come. ولا تخالفوا أفعالهم أقوالهم. Right? And their statements do not negate their actions. وَيَكُونُ مَيْلَهُمْ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. They are inclined towards the beneficial knowledge in the life to come. وَيَجْتَنِبُونَ الْعُلُومَ الَّتِي يَقِلُّ نَفْعًا إِثَارًا لِمَا يَعْظُمُ نَفْعَهُ. And they favor the sciences which are more beneficial because they're looking for that which has, maximizes the benefit. كما روي عن شقيق البلخي رحمه الله أنه قال لحاتم قد صحبتني مدة فماذا تعلمت قال ثمانية مسائل الله أكبر. He said شقيق البلخي said to حاتم, he said, you have accompanied me for some time, what have you learned? He told him, I learned eight matters. أما الأولى فأني نظرت إلى الخلق فإذا كل شخص له محبوب فإذا وصل إلى قبري فارقه محبوبه فجعلت محبوبي حسناتي لتكون في القبر معي. الله أكبر. He said, I looked at each and every one of the creation and I saw that each person has a beloved. Each person has a beloved. However, once that person reached the grave, what happened? The beloved one left him. Have you ever seen someone go with the dead person in the grave? No way. Even if that wife loved her husband to death, once they put him in the grave, she's not going in there with him. End of story. It's just the way it is. He said, because of this concept, I made my good deeds my beloved, so they can go to my grave with me. You can take your good deeds. Huh? MashaAllah. Look at this profound understanding. This is the first thing he learned from Shaqiq. وأما الثانية فإني نظرت إلى قول الله تعالى ونهى النفس عن الهوى فأجهدتها في دفع الهوى حتى استقرت على طاعة الله تعالى. Secondly, I reflected on the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and He prevented his soul against his desires. Right? Surah An-Nazi'at. The end of Surah An-Nazi'at. So I strove against, I strove in fighting back this desire until my soul became fixed on obeying Allah. So he did this ijtihad until he attained this level. وأما الثالثة فإني رأيت كل من معه شيء له قيمة عنده يحفظه. The third thing is I saw that anytime someone had a property of his, huh, which was valuable, he would do what? He would protect it. Huh? He will keep it. When you have a valuable property, you don't just leave it anywhere. صح؟ ثم نظرت في قوله سبحانه وتعالى ما عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق. Then I observed the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever you have shall come to an end, and whatever is with Allah will remain. فكلما وقع معي شيء له قيمة وجهته إليه ليبقى لي عنده. Subhanallah. So anytime something of value was given to me, then I directed that thing towards Allah so that it would remain for me with Him eventually. Meaning He used it in obedience of Allah. وأما الرابعة فإني رأيت الناس يرجعون إلى المال والحسب والشرف. The fourth thing that I learned is that I saw people always referring back and depending on their money and on their lineage and on their status. وليست بشيء. However, none of them is of any value. فنظرت في قول الله تعالى إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم فعملت في التقوى لأكون عنده كريما. يا شيخ. So I looked at the statement of Allah, verily the most honorable in the sight of Allah amongst you are those with the most piety. So then I strove on attaining righteousness and piety so I can be with Him noble, huh? And honorable. وَأَمَّا الْخَامِسَةُ فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ يَتَحَاسَدُونَ. I saw that the people were envying each other. فَنَظَرْتُ فِي قَوْلِ تَعَالَى نَحْنُ قَصَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعَيْشَتَهُمْ فَتَرَكْتُ الْحَسَدُ. So I looked at the statement of Allah, verily it is we who have divided, who have distributed amongst them their livelihood, so I stopped envying anyone. So Allah decided this, what do I want from this guy? يعني I'm envying him, but that's what Allah gave him. خلاص. Don't bother with it, to begin with. وَالسَّادِسَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ يَتَعَادُونَ. I saw them having enmity against each other, huh? فَنَظَرْتُ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So I looked at the statement of Allah, verily the shaitan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. فَتَرَكْتُ عَدَوَاتِهِمْ وَاتَّخَذْتُ الشَّيْطَانَ وَحْدَهُ عَدُوًا. I left the enmity and I took the shaitan only as my enemy. وَالسَّابِعَةُ رَأَيْتَهُمْ يَذُلُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي طَلَبِ الرِّزْقِ. I saw them humiliating themselves seeking sustenance. فنظرت في قوله تعالى وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها. And there isn't anything which walks upon earth except that upon Allah is its sustenance and provision. فاشتغلت بما له علي وتركت مالي عنده. So I was busy then with that which will bring me close to Him, and I relied upon Him to bring about my what is rightfully mine, because is Allah already given the sustenance. والثامنة, and the eighth one, رأيت متوكلين على تجارتهم وصنائعهم وصحة أبدانهم فتوكلت على الله تعالى. I saw that the people were relying and depending on their businesses and their you know, manufacturing and their health, so I relied instead on Allah تبارك وتعالى. So these are eight things which you learned from a sheikh. And what do you think about that? Huh? What a student, yeah? Yani maybe the Sheikh himself was like, MashaAllah. Yeah, you learned this from me? This is great. Yeah, this is some... see, this is the ulama of the Salaf, man. These people, you know, how could you do this? Can you think of this by yourself, these eight ideas? I really doubt it. With the evidence, yani MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. We ask Allah of His fadl. Naam. وَمِن صِفَاتِ عُلَمَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ أن يكونوا منقبضين عن السلاطين محترزين من مخالطتهم. From the qualities of the scholars of the life to come is that they are kind of withholding, or they refrain, or they avoid the rulers, sultan, huh? The people in charge. And they avoid mixing with them as much as possible. قال حذيفة رضي الله عنه إياكم ومواقف الفتن. Hudhayfa said, woe to you and the status of temptation, or the status of trial, or being in a predicament of being tempted and tried. Qila wa mahi, it was said to him, what is that? Qala abwabul umara, the doors and the gates of the princes. يدخل أحدكم على الأمير فيصدقه بالكذب ويقول ما ليس فيه. One of you will enter upon the Amir, so he will believe him in his lie, and then he will say about him that which he doesn't have. He will praise him and everything, and he knows he doesn't have any of it. وقال سعيد بن المسيب رحمه الله إذا رأيتم العالم يخشى الأمراء فاحذروا منه فإنه لص. And Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, if you see the scholar abundantly frequenting and visiting the rulers and the princes, then be careful of him, he's a thief. وقال بعض السلف إنك لا تصيب من دنياهم شيئا إلا أصابوا من دينك أفضل منه. You will never be able to acquire anything from the dunya which they have, except that they will acquire of your religion something which is better than that which you acquired. ومن صفات علماء الآخرة ألا يتسرعوا إلى الفتوى. From the qualities of the scholars of the life to come, they don't hasten to issue fatwa. وألا يفتوا إلا بما يتيقنون صحته. And they only give fatwa of that which they are certain about its validity. وقد كان السلف يتدافعون الفتوى حتى ترجع إلى الأول. And the Salaf used to kind of avoid fatwa until it goes back to the first one who was asked. يعني a person will ask Fulan. He will say, I don't know, ask Fulan. He will ask Fulan. They continue to go around until he goes back to the first one. Nobody wants to give him an answer. A fatwa. Of course, you differentiate a fatwa and conveying some information. A fatwa here, when there's a matter that you need to have background and you have to have ilm of the language and the nasikh and mansukh and the hadith and sahhat al-hadith, this is a heavy, heavy, not anyone can be a mufti. This is not about Q&A. Someone came and asked you right now, Akhi, do I need, wudu for salah? You say, wallah, brother, barakallah feek, go ask him. Say, wallah, akhi, ma'alish, I don't give fatawa. Ya buyish fatawa, this is from the assessment, the daruriyat of the deen. You need to know this and you need to tell the brother. If nobody did, gave the new Muslim any, wait till you meet Sheikh Fozan. But who's going to teach this new Muslim the matters of the deen? Because none of us is a mufti. You differentiate between Q&A about issues that the da'i could know, the average da'i in the da'wah center, and a fatwa. Something that is new, someone that no one knows except the alim who issues the fatwa. Here they're speaking about the fatwa, not about Q&A, which is a basic question with a basic answer. وقال عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى رحمه الله أدركت في هذا المسجد 120 من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما أحد يسأل عن حديث أو فتوى إلا ود أن أخاه كفاه ذلك. This individual named عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى, he said, I have come across in this masjid over 120 of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of them was asked a question about a hadith or a fatwa, except that he hoped or he wished or he preferred that his brother took care of it instead of him. ثم قال آل الأمر إلى أقدام أقوام يدعون العلم اليوم. So then the matter became where people come and they claim to have knowledge today. I don't know if you've seen this individual named Adnan something. It's in Arabic. Adnan Ibrahim. You've seen, يعني مصيبة. This man is a مصيبة now. Suit and tie on YouTube. He denies the Dajjal. Huh? No Dajjal in Islam. There's no ayah in the Quran that speaks about the Dajjal. Speaks against Muawiyah. He denies the hadith in Bukhari about the Dhubaba, the fly. And the list goes on and on and on. And he's a big fitna now. I got this guy at work, he's driving me crazy. He says, please watch his videos and I want you to watch. And then I said, Yahi, I saw a few of his videos. This guy is a lunatic, man. This guy is denying the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with his brain. I mean, this is the same one Imam Shafi'i said, these people beat him with a pair of shoes in the street to educate them and to show the people how the deviant, Ahlul Kalam, the people, the philosophers. Huh? But there is a huge following, people defending him, this and that. Now, this is what happens. So someone, he's a physician or a chemist, he's specialized in chemistry or physics or something, he's a doctor somewhere else. So because he's a doctor in physics, now he comes, speaks about the deen of Allah. And any hadith which doesn't work with his brain, he will reject it. Huh? And he will tell you it's not in the Quran. And the list goes on and on and on. So this is an example. You find people now, they claim to have knowledge. يقدمون على الجواب في مسائل لو عرضت لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه لجمع أهل بدر واستشارهم. You find one of them now hastening to give an answer in a matter which if it were to be presented to Umar, he would have gathered all the people of Badr and consulted them regarding this matter. Umar wouldn't give the fatwa himself. He'll bring all the people of Badr and discuss with them the answer. Now the guy will come take care of it on his behalf. We're almost done with this chapter. وَمِنْ صِفَاتِهِمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَكْثَرَ بَحْثِهِمْ فِي عِلْمِ الْأَعْمَالِ عَمَّا يُفْسِدُهَا وَيُكَدِّرُ الْقُلُوبَ وَيُهَيِّجُ الْوَسْوَاسِ. And among the qualities is that most of their research is in regards to the knowledge of the deeds, the knowledge of those things which nullify the deeds and ruin the heart and will incite the whispering of the shaitan. فَإِنَّ صُوَرِ الْأَعْمَالِ قَرِيبَ سَهْلًا وَإِنَّمَا التَّعَبْ فِي تَصْفِيَتِهَا. Performing the act of worship physically is an easy thing. The issue is in purifying it inwardly, internally. You could do the salah, but how do you fix the salah internally? Anyone can pray and raise his hands and put them on his chest and do the رَفْعِ يَدَيْنِ and the whole 9 yards. That's easy. Anyone can do it. But the actual salah, So these ulama focus on that inside, the internal aspects of the salah, not merely the outside. وَأَصْلُ الدِّينَ التَّوَقِّي مِنَ الشَّرِّ وَلَا يَصِحُّ أَنْ يَتَوَقَّ حَتَّى يَعْرِفَ. And the foundation of the religion is avoiding evil, and you cannot avoid something until you know it. وَمِنْ صِفَاتِهِمْ الْبَحْثُ عَنْ أَسْرَارِ الْأَعْمَالِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. Among the qualities that they look for the secrets of the legislation, يعني the wisdom behind the obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, the prohibitions. وَالْمُلَاحَظَةِ لِحِكَمِهَا. And they pay attention to the wisdom behind it, that little tiny thing which you people don't pay attention to. فَإِنْ عَجِزَ عَنِ الْإِطْطَلَاعِ عَلَى الْعِلَّةِ كَفَاهُ التَّسْلِيمِ الشَّرْعِ. Beautiful. Which is against that guy. If he's unable to identify the wisdom behind that, he will submit to the legislation. He tried to find the wisdom behind it, failed in doing so, still he says, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. خَلَا, I couldn't. But if you can't find the wisdom, therefore, no way the Prophet said it. لَا. لَا. Then we have an issue. Dajjal doesn't make sense, no Dajjal. Evidence, nothing of the Dajjal was mentioned in the Quran. Yeah, we have hundreds of ahadith in Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, all over the world. We have the dua in every salah the Prophet ﷺ would make at the end, A'udhu bika min fitnati al-Masih al-Dajjal. What are you going to do with all this? Allah, ma fi al-Dajjal. Yeah, we were dealing with Imran Hussein and his interpretation. Then we came with the guy who denies the Dajjal altogether. Allah musta'an. وَمِنْ صِفَاتِهِمْ اتِّبَاعُ الصَّحَابَةِ وَخِيَارُ التَّابِعِينَ وَتَوَقِّي كُلَّ مُحْدَثٍ. Allah. And among the qualities, and with this we conclude, is following the Sahaba. And the elite among the Tabi'een. Right? And avoiding every innovation, every invented matter, anything which is new to the deen, they don't deal with it. They avoid it completely and they stay away from it, seeking Allah's pleasure. So that concludes that chapter. Inshallah, next lesson we'll be dealing with the chapter on tahara, purity, and the secrets of tahara and the salah and things which are related to the salah. So what he was speaking about earlier, we will actually get a glimpse of that. So inshallah, we learn what the wisdom behind the tahara, the wisdom behind the salah, and things of the sort, so that when we do these ibadat, it will no longer be merely a ritual. It will not be ritualism, it will be actually we're doing it with love, with spirituality, with iman, and so on and so forth, which is what we're looking for in this book actually. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.